What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Bridging the Geekdoms. I am your host, Robert, and with me, as always, is the man who you cannot see, John... Wait, no. You got Colton here.
Yeet.
And what's going on, people?
What'd it do?
Did we have an episode last week? For some reason, I feel like we didn't do it. It's been a long week.
It has been a long week. For everybody.
I really don't remember. We did an episode last week. It was 2 weeks ago we didn't do an episode.
Yeah, because we did Captain Marvel, and then we did Shitman and...
Oh, yeah, it was last
and
week.
And Tard Face and Hawk Tard.
What's going on, everybody? This week, we are going to be talking about a lot of stuff, actually. Zack Snyder talked a little bit about, during the Batman vs. Superman screening, celebrating its third year anniversary, he did a Q&A and actually talked a little bit about Justice League and things leading up to how Justice League became what it is. We also have some stuff about Shazam. Shazam had an early screening this past weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit. And our main meat and potatoes of the episode is going to be about Black Widow as we make our journey closer and closer to Avengers Endgame, which is going to be coming up very soon, in less than a month. Or no, in 1 month from today. 1 month today from today, we will be sitting in the theater, actually right now probably watching it, because it'll probably be a 7 o'clock showing.
Yeah, we'll be watching previews right now.
Yeah, so in 1 month we'll be in the theater. Getting so pumped and jacked for...
Hopefully no one sits on me because they can't see me. I can't throw it up because I've hurt my shoulder. I can do one. We need to do that tomorrow at work. So how have you been?
I've been pretty good. Had a little bit of an airsoft weekend. Yeah. You know, went away, actually, you know, had a night out.
Styx was playing in the background.
No, but I should have. Man. Tried to get a little wasty pants. Didn't end up happening like I wanted it to, but that's all right. Had some fun playing some airsoft in a new field, Mercer Airsoft Field out in Mercer, PA. Pretty good field. Nice group of people there. It was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Had some issues with it, but I mean, you always, if you go looking for problems, you're going to find problems with anywhere you go.
Yeah.
But I went and I had fun. That's all I wanted to do is go have fun, check out a field I've never been to before. So I did that. That was nice. Ended up watching Triple Frontier on Sunday. That is the Netflix movie with Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, Pablo Escobar. What's his name?
Hidalgo.
Pablo Hidalgo.
Bird.
All I know is it's the guy that's in The Mandalore. I can't remember his name all of a sudden. The Mandalorian.
Benicio del Toro. No,
but I can't think of his name right now. But it wasn't a bad movie. I watched that. The ending sucked. I thought the ending was horrible. It was funny. I read an article about this movie and how it's been in development since the mid-2000s.
Jesus.
Originally, Tom Hanks and Will Smith were attached to it, which I'm sitting there trying to figure out who each of them would have played in the movie. And
Tom Hanks and Will Smith. Tom Hanks and Will Smith.
I honestly can't imagine. You know, maybe the script went through some changes between then and now, because I honestly can't see either one of them playing any of the roles in the movie. Maybe Tom Hanks one character, but
Will Smith decided to play the genie.
Yeah. So, and honestly, that's actually what I think is what happened. I think that's why he officially pulled out, because he went and did Aladdin and had to pull out of it.
Yeah. Well,
so it's interesting.
Not a smart choice.
No, definitely not. But the movie, like, it's pretty fast paced. I mean, it gets moving pretty quickly. It's over 2 hours long. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's a quick movie because it's so fast paced. I don't know. Like, it didn't feel like, it was the same feeling I had after watching Sicario. You know, people love Sicario. Everybody's like, Sicario is such a great movie. I was like, the entire time through Sicario, I was like, who's the bad guy? Like, who's the villain? There's
Everyone.
No villain. You have a hero who really isn't a hero because she doesn't know what the hell she's doing. And then you don't really have a villain. And so you don't have a...
You just have a whole bunch of mindless killing.
There's no MacGuffin. There's no nothing. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't understand the point of the movie. Like, okay, it's cool to see people shooting things, but why?
Yeah.
And that was kind of like how it was with this. Now, they did have a whole reason. Like, the whole idea behind Triple Frontier is you have Oscar Isaac's character who...
Is part of One Frontier.
He works for the government, and he's been trying to take down a drug cartel. And he's just sick of, you know, after many years of working for the government, doing all this stuff, he has nothing to show for it. Mm. You know, so he just finally wants to like have something to show for it, and he gets a tip on where the biggest drug lord is, who has, they believe, only like, you know, what is it, like $75 million at his, at his compound.
Only.
Well, hold on. So you find out, you know, okay, so he's $75 million. So he goes around and starts, you know, getting a team of guys together. You know, Ben Affleck is a character who's, he's been retired for a few years. He doesn't really want to get back into it. He has a family, but he pulls him into it. Charlie Hunnam is kind of like an instructor. They pull him into it. They pull in a couple other people as well. And the idea at first was he sold them on it was just going to be like a consulting job where, and if you want to be involved with it, that's fine. But he was saying, oh, this is an this is a government mandated job. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. It was all Oscar Isaac. Like, look, let's get in there. Let's kill the fucker, steal his money, and then we're rich. You know, like that was his plan. Well, obviously things don't go as planned and things happen and everything like that. So that's basically the main driving force of the movie. Up to that point, it's really cool. Like, I really enjoyed the movie. It was after that where things kind of drug a little bit, and it just, I didn't feel it. I think it was more the character development. I didn't really feel invested with some of the characters and some of the things that happened. So it wasn't a terrible movie. I say give it a watch. Especially if you like Sicario, I think you would like this. If you're a fan of just, you know,
just mindless killing stuff
and stuff like that. Honestly, the acting was great because it had a bunch of good actors in it. Mm. So I think I think you'd like it. I think anybody, and it's on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you can watch it.
Yeet.
So it's pretty cool. I then watched the first season of a show that I heard nothing about until yesterday, because I watched Triple Frontier, and then it popped up as it was coming on next. I'm like, what the hell is that? So, you know, I watched the trailer. It's called The Order. And it's the first, it was a one season, 10 episodes, and it's about this college who has basically a secret, like, fraternity group of some sorts of
a cult
essentially. It's secret, where like presidents have been part of it, famous people have been part of it, everything like that. But the weird thing about it is they practice magic. So
Harry Potter but with, you know, goats.
not that kind of magic. It's black magic, but again, not like how Harry Potter does magic. It's different than that.
It's like occult magic.
I actually really thought it was cool the way they did it, like the whole magic aspect. But the story is about this guy, this kid, who his mother died years ago.
Rest in spaghetti.
She killed herself because she was obsessed with this guy who impregnated her and left her, and like she was obsessed with them, and because she couldn't have him, she killed herself. Like, she drove her crazy.
Men are pigs.
So the kid and his grandfather raised him, and his grandfather was on the opposite side of this. Now he was crazy about getting this guy, like he was going nuts. So his entire, like the kid's entire life was about getting him trained and prepared to join this, to get accepted to this school, to join this fraternity, to get at this guy who, you know, is like, he's part of the school somehow, but they don't know how. So like that was like their whole plan. It wasn't like, it felt like it was a higher budget CW show, is what it felt like. So it was like, you know, all that like,
yeah, cheesy
soap opera-ish, cheesy teen angst, you know, like kind of show. But it had some interesting aspects. There's a point in the show where there's a werewolf that is out like hunting people, and you know, then somebody, another character, like gets turned into a werewolf. And it was a really cool way of doing it. Like, it was, I've never seen like a werewolf lore like this. I thought it was really different and interesting, and I liked it. It's 10 episodes, roughly 10 hours, probably a little less, because like some episodes are like 45 minutes long and stuff like that. But I say give it a shot. Like, if you're into like just weird stuff like that, you might like it, you might not. I always say this, 3 episodes. You give a show 3 episodes. If you don't like it after that, you can drop it. I watched those 3 episodes and I was invested, so I just continued and just finished it. I mean, I had 2 days off, or I had more than 2 days off, but you know, I had these 2 days and I watched it over the course of the 2 days. Wasn't horrible. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to the next season if they make one. It ended like on such a downer. I was just kind of like, ah, oh, really? That you're gonna do me like that? Like, ah.
Nah, you gotta wait for season 2.
So it's kind of like, well, here's the thing. It ends in a way where it's like, yeah, they could do a season two. Absolutely could. But I kind of don't want them to. Because even though the way it ended kind of upset me, I think I would be more upset to see what happens with these characters now after that ending.
Oh, that kind of
so
sucks.
It's kind of like, ah.
Do I or don't I?
So we'll see what happens. I'm sure most Netflix shows get at least two seasons.
Yeah.
So we'll
like end of the fucking world.
Yeah.
The main character, spoiler warning, main character dies at the end of season one and they're like, season two.
Yeah. Well, it's just like 13 Reasons Why. They're like, we're getting a season two. Like, what? How?
What? That's not how that works.
It was, what? So, let's see what else I do. That's about it. Yeah. Didn't really do anything. Oh, a new show came out this weekend. A sneak preview for the Broken Lizard guys who do Super Troopers and stuff like that. They have a TV show on True TV called Tacoma FD, where it's two of the guys from Super Troopers and you know Broken Lizard group, and it's only two of them that are in the show. They created it, but they're firefighters. And
nice.
Yeah, and I watched the first episode. It's funny. It needs to work a little bit, I think, to be a little bit better, because some of the jokes that they did, like, first off, were kind of like, really? That's a joke? You're really going for that. Like, that's
you're trying to pull my humor.
And then there's a couple jokes that they went a little too far with it. Like, they just kept doing it.
More of my humor.
But it wasn't horrible. Like, I honestly, I'm looking forward to the season actually starting next week. Like, this coming Thursday is actually the first episode. They had a sneak peek episode. I guess it's the pilot. I guess that's what it was. And then episode one is this Thursday, I guess.
TV's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Some shows do weird things like that.
Like pilots, normally season one, episode one. Sometimes a pilot's just a pilot and it never gets a series.
Exactly.
It's weird.
And sometimes they'll do a pilot and then they will push the pilot away and recast or reshoot the pilot and make that episode one. So then you have two technically episode ones.
And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, TV's a funny little thing there. Definitely a fun little thing. But yeah.
You had more of an eventful weekend than I did.
Yeah. Well, I was so tired yesterday. Like, I literally didn't get off my couch yesterday because I just couldn't. I was so tired from the two nights prior.
The old age.
Dude. Yeah, once you get past 30, it's pretty...
It's all downhill.
Pretty suck. Yeah. Pretty suck. So, let's get into some things here because I'm real excited about this whole Zack Snyder debacle.
Yay.
And stuff. So like I said a little bit ago, Zack Snyder held a screening of Batman vs. Superman to mark the third anniversary of the film, which I wish I could have gone to, but it wasn't anywhere near here, so I couldn't go. But afterwards, he did have a Q&A with everybody. One of the more interesting things, this isn't the most interesting, but one of the more interesting things that he talked about was that the original Justice League script was actually never shot. So you know, all these people talking about the Snyder cut, we want the Snyder cut, the Snyder vision of Justice League. He actually never shot that original.
It doesn't exist.
And that does not exist. This is coming from ScreenRant.com. According to Snyder, the script for Justice League had already been completed before Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice was released. But after the movie saw a harsh backlash, the studio got nervous and told him there were a lot of changes that needed to be made. Snyder described the original version of Justice League as the really scary version, which we've heard about some of the concept art for this movie before. And said the studio came back and said they had to change some things to avoid another reception like Batman vs. Superman. Snyder said he did a complete rewrite on Justice League with Chris Terrio, and the original version they had planned is not the same as the version they ended up shooting. So this creates an interesting question about what version of Justice League fans would get with the Snyder cut versus what the original script said. Some of the leaks of the last few years have been related to deleted scenes and on-set information about what Justice League was originally like, but other information has come from storyboards, concept art, and set designs, as well as other details that could still be referencing that original script. That means there were virtually three versions of Justice League. The version Snyder and Terrio wrote before Dawn of Justice came out, the rewrite version from Snyder and Terrio, which Snyder shot 100% of principal photography for, and the version Whedon came in, made by cutting the Snyder footage way down and adding $25 million in reshoots to alter and simplify the story, which is what we saw in theaters.
Oof.
So, some more things about that. original script, and I know I get excited hearing about it, and a lot of people do, but keep in mind, this was never shot. It's just a cool idea. The full Justice League story was all about the Nightmare timeline. So the timeline from the Nightmare scene in Batman vs. Superman, this script, this first Justice League movie, was going to be that timeline. And everything that happened after BVS was going to lead into that Nightmare scene. Basically, let's see. Snyder also dropped some major reveals about the original darker, scary Justice League script. The Nightmare scene in BVS was far more of a setup than people realized. He said the movies were working up to reach that post-apocalyptic future, all centering around Flash's surprise time travel visit to Bruce in the Batcave from BVS. The way Snyder and Terrio designed the time travel in the story was that Flash would have to run on the cosmic treadmill built in the Batcave, and he would be transported back in time to the same spot in space. That meant they had to choose a moment in time where the Earth was in the exact same location so he didn't end up in the wrong location or even just land in the void of space. This left two windows for when he could go back in time. Batman and Cyborg, who had been damaged and apparently only half of him was left, devised a plan to warn Bruce in the past. The results in what we see in Batman v Superman were Flash arrives in the Batcave and warns Bruce, Lois is the key, but realizes he is too soon and says to find us. At the time, Batman didn't understand what Flash was talking about, but once he catches up in the future, where it's now his turn to send Barry Allen back, he asks Cyborg which window he'd send Barry through if the choice was his. Bruce then selects the opposite one, knowing the window they chose last time resulted in Flash winding up arriving too soon. This is where Snyder drops a major bombshell. The new window chosen for Flash was intended to have him arrive in the Batcave moments before Darkseid himself boom-tubed in and killed Lois. As we've learned in the past, Superman goes evil after losing Lois, which makes him succumb to the anti-life equation. So Flash's mission was to stop that from happening. So what actually made it into the version that Snyder shot? With multiple story revisions between the original script and Josh Whedon's theatrical cut, it's not clear how much of the story Snyder described was intact in the version he shot, but we do know a few details that give us a rough idea of what was sacrificed from the original script. Snyder described a scene from the trailer where Bruce tells Diana something's coming, something darker. This quote belonged to a scene where Bruce was explaining how Barry Allen came to the Batcave to tell him Lois is the key. Diana tells Bruce she was the key to save... She was the key to Superman because every heart has one. Before Bruce clarifies, he was referring to something darker. I don't really understand where that's going. Considering this made it into early trailers, but not the theatrical cut, that means it's an element Snyder maintained from the original story. We've also seen storyboards of Darkseid in the Nightmare sequence, and Snyder has clarified in the past that he shoots everything he draws. So while the Nightmare sequence was entirely missing in the theatrical cut, Snyder's original revised script didn't remove that either. In the end, fans will certainly never get a live-action version of Snyder's original script, although he could also release a script or turn it into a graphic novel, which is what I hope he does. So that's kind of what goes on there. I'm pumped. Like, I want to see this version. Again, I want to see it in a graphic novel.
At that point, he might as well just start a graphic novel and just do it all.
There's no reason why he can't. That's why I was like, you know, he should work with someone like Jim Lee or George Miller or somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, hey, you draw, I write, we'll put out 4 books, 5 books. And honestly, why even do that? Not just start with Man of Steel. Say, this is Man of Steel. This is Batman vs. Superman. This is what I wanted for Batman vs. Superman. And then this is everything else I wanted.
Yeah.
And just write it and throw it out in graphic. You could sell this for $20 a pop, and I'll buy 6 of them. Like,
nice.
I mean, honestly. I mean,
then you have a nice little anthology.
Exactly. It'd be a cool little Elseworlds story for the DC comic universe.
Exactly.
And they do that already, so why not do that?
Makes sense.
I can't imagine any contract disputes between Warner Brothers and the only thing is if that first script that he wrote, if that belongs to Warner Brothers, that's the only way that he wouldn't be able to get away with it. But if Warner Brothers doesn't own it, or if they don't ever plan on doing anything with it, why not just say, okay, DC can go ahead and turn this into a graphic novel? Because they're going to make their money back. That's what I think they need to understand is if they did that, they'll make their money back easily for doing that. Absolutely.
I mean, I would buy it. That'd be one of the few comics I would own physically.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I would make a shrine to it.
Buys all the alternate covers and everything.
Heck yeah.
Sinks $7,000 into the six books. That would be kind of cool to see you do that.
Yeah.
Just on the standby. Oh my God, he's really spending $7,000.
There's another funny thing during the Q&A with Zack Snyder. Somebody was asking about why people always ask him why his superheroes kill and stuff like that. And he was just basically like, you know, once you lost your virginity to this fucking film talking about Batman versus Superman, and then you come and say to me something like, my superhero wouldn't do that. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like down the fucking road on that. It's a cool point of view to be like, my heroes are innocent. That's cool. But you're living a fucking dream world, if that's what you think. Like, that's literally true. Like, everybody always wants to talk about, oh, my superheroes don't kill and stuff like that. And, you know, Batman has this stance where he doesn't kill. That's in the comics. You know, this is an adaptation of the character. This is his vision. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But you don't need to get all butthurt because he kills. Everybody loves the Michael Keaton version of Batman. Guess what? He kills too.
Yeah.
But you never complained about that.
Or the fact that, you know, certain circumstances require you to kill.
Yeah.
Like.
So, I there was just a few little tidbits I thought were really cool. There's one other thing that people are going to get excited about. You can take this as you want.
Yes, we're going on the show. We're making a world tour. Yeah.
I wish.
That'd be cool.
So, Carlos Pro, I guess he's a Twitter user. I don't know much about him. He was on Twitter. He was at the event with Snyder, and he didn't get to talk and ask his question during the Q&A. However, he did tweet this out, which I thought was really interesting. He goes, even though I wasn't able to ask my question during the Q&A, I did get a chance to ask Zach face-to-face about the Snyder Cut. He said, the movie is done. It exists. But basically, it is up to WB. He is not aware that WB has any plans to release. Bittersweet. So, and then he has a picture of him with Snyder at the event, shaking his hand. So you know, okay, first off, he did see Zack Snyder.
Yeah, it's confirmed.
It's a, you know, there's proof that he sat there and talked to him. Whether that's the conversation he had or not, that's for us to decide and decide if he's telling the truth. I think it's true. I've said, and I believe that there is a Snyder Cut. After all of that we've heard, everything that we've heard from so many sources, it's hard for me to believe that there isn't actually a Snyder Cut out there. Like, I just can't imagine there isn't one. They finish principal photography, and normally when a director finishes a movie, they edit it together, and then they decide where they need the reshoots. Okay, yes, so his main film, his main movie is shot and edited together. It may not be finished with, you know, all the special effects and stuff like that.
Just touch-ups.
The music may not be complete in it, because also he didn't do his reshoots to fix the film. So it's going to be a rough cut. But that's what directors do. They make a rough cut, and then they have time to go back and reshoot to fix areas. So I've always known and figured there is a Snyder Cut out there. People, I think, are always like, no, there isn't a Snyder Cut, because, you know, and I think they think that when people will say we want the Snyder Cut, they want a completed, 100% completed version of Snyder's of film. That's not what I've ever said. I've said, if it's not complete with special effects and everything like that, I'm okay with that. Let me see it. I just want to see the damn story.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what it is. And if you're not going to give it to me on film, then put it in graphic novel form. That's what I've always said.
Or have someone narrate it for you.
I want to see pictures.
Just have William Shatner in your ear.
Ew, Shatner.
As Batman leaps off a building.
As Batman leaps off a building.
Rocket Man.
Let's see, continuing some DC news. So, Shazam had early screenings this past weekend. Not happening.
Nah, damn.
If I wasn't doing my airsoft thing, and I had these plans for this weekend months in advance. If I wasn't doing that, I would have been at the theater seeing the early screenings. I would have been there first in line, because I've been looking forward to this movie for so long. But holy crap, is the reception great for it.
Yeah,
people
are
loving it.
96% on Rotten Tomatoes as well.
I don't even care about Rotten Tomatoes. I care about the fan reaction to it, and the fans are loving the movie. You know, a lot of the reactions I saw is it's lighthearted, the jokes are perfect, Zachary Levi kills it as Shazam. That's what I want to hear.
You said Captain Marvel wrong.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that stuff, because yes, I always make fun of Marvel for how lighthearted and funny they are, you know, with all the jokes. what you don't understand is that is what Shazam is supposed to be. Yeah. So that's why it's going to fit. Iron Man shouldn't be about jokes. Ant-Man in the comics wasn't a jokester. Like, that's what
that's people don't understand. Because he became a joke.
Like, they for these movies, they made all these jokes and just and always try to insert jokes when it doesn't need to be there.
Like Ant-Man in the Marvel Universe.
So I'm hoping that Shazam lives up to what I'm hoping it's going to be with all the fan reaction loving it. I hope I love it. And I'll be truthful. If I go and see it and I hate it, I will say I hate it. I have no problem saying I hate something if I hate it. I'm just hoping it's great.
I might see it on my birthday. Might see it the day before. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it comes out on my birthday.
Yeah. And well, I'm going. That's not this Thursday. It's next Thursday. Yeah, so
it's next week.
Next Thursday, I'm going to see it. And maybe
if I see it Thursday, I'll see Pet Sematary Friday.
Yeah. And I might throw out my initial reactions on Facebook, in the group. I might do a short little video once I get out to my car that night and talk about it. So yeah. So join the Facebook group, people. That's where all the fun goes down.
That's where all the yeets are yeeted.
Yes. All of the yeets are yeeted. It's actually saying that Shazam outgrosses Aquaman in sneak peek screenings, but I think they did a larger sneak peek screening event than they did for Aquaman, because I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think Aquaman even had one around here.
They had one, but I don't think it happened around here. No, one theater around here was up at the waterfront.
Oh, yeah. And we were like, yeah, no, that's too far.
Yeah, I'm not driving all the way
up. Especially at Christmas time.
And I wasn't really looking forward to Aquaman like I am for Shazam.
Yeah.
So,
man, could you imagine if we went to see it in the pre-screening or the early screenings or whatever? Just see Aquaman and be like, man, that movie was badass. We need to see it when it releases.
Yeah. Yeah, it is out on digital now. I think it comes out tomorrow.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow. It comes out on DVD and Blu-ray. Some little things that I know people are talking about in the nerd and geek world right now. We're going to get off of comic book stuff here.
Yes, Us is amazing.
Today only, so since you're not going to listen to this until not today.
Yesterday.
Sorry, you may have missed it, but on PC you can get Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind for free as they celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Elder Scrolls series.
They should just re-release Skyrim.
Why they are re-releasing Morrowind is beyond me, because in my opinion, that is the worst one. I know a lot of people think it's the best. I had just a horrible experience with that game. When it came out, I got it for my original Xbox, because it was the first Elder Scrolls on the Xbox. On console. It was the first Elder Scrolls on console. And everybody was like, oh, this game, it's so great on the PC. You're going to love it. Blah, blah, blah.
And it just didn't port well.
And look, my buddy Dave, dude, I would be at work. I'd come home from work, and he'd be sitting in my basement, and I'm playing on my Xbox, playing Morrowind. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, I want to play Xbox.
Stop. Get out of my house.
Yeah, like, I'd be at school, you know, and I'd get home from school, and he'd be sitting there playing more. I'm like, stop.
Go home. Have a family.
Like, I kind of want to play, man. So, yeah, like, he loved it.
I'm surprised he didn't, like, remaster it.
He bought, and my buddy only, he eventually bought his own Xbox solely for Morrowind.
That's a little obsessive.
Like, that's how obsessed he was with the game. I just never got it. I thought the battling system was terrible. I thought that the graphics were great, good for its time. I mean, it wasn't great, but they were good for its time.
It's 2003.
Yeah. The load times were horrendous, dude. Like, literally, you would load that game. You could put the game in, start the game, walk away, go make yourself, like, six sandwiches, eat those six sandwiches, maybe go to the bar, have a couple pints, come back, you know, maybe masturbate a little bit, and then you get a chance to play.
Only a little bit.
Only a little bit, though.
Cancel everything and masturbate a whole lot. And everything's fine. Come in six sandwiches, fuel up, go to the bar, get really good drunk, not wasty pants drunk, so you can still get it up,
but
drunk enough that your hand's numb and it feels like a stranger. Then go home, masturbate just a little bit, just enough to where your hand gets feeling back in it. And you're like, oh man, I'm coming off my buzz. Guess it's time to play Morrowind.
But by that time, then it would be up and loaded. Like, that's how long it took. And it was just so freaking annoying. And then the story? What story? Like, people always talk about the story was good in it. I'm like, what story? Like, it took 40 minutes to load a damn map. So by the time the map loads, you're like, okay, what happened 40 minutes ago in the story? Like, I don't remember.
Like, I just masturbated a little, ate six sandwiches, and went to the bar. I don't remember what happened. I've had a busy 40 minutes.
Oh, God. But, yeah, so, hey, hopefully you got it. If you like it, more power to you.
I'm just surprised they didn't, like, 25th anniversary remaster, because they did that with Skyrim 27 times.
Yeah.
That game had long load times for the first, like, the initial release of it. The load times were insane.
For Skyrim?
Yeah.
They weren't as bad as the...
But for a 360 game, it was a 360 game first. Those load times were insane.
Mm.
They were like 45 seconds. Hashtag first world problem.
You could only make one sandwich.
And masturbate just for a half a second.
Oh, man. There's really nothing else that, you know, was big news-wise. We'll talk about that one thing here in a second. Yeah, nothing else news-wise that was really big that everybody was talking about besides that DC stuff and...
Yeah.
Morrowind being free today on the PC.
Yeah. Well, yesterday. It'd be yesterday.
Yesterday, whatever. The day we're recording, damn it.
Yeah. Which is beep.
25th, 2019.
Beep.
Man, it took you a long time to say March.
Yeah. March? Eat.
All right. So we're going to start getting into our little end games journey here, continuing it down.
Down memory lane.
Memory lane? I don't know what I'm trying to go for here.
Yeet, yeet, yoot.
Yoot, yoot, yeet. Before we get into that, there was a little bit of news that dropped today about Avengers Endgame. There is a rumor that states that Avengers Endgame's runtime will be 3 hours and 2 minutes.
I'm dope with that.
Makes it the longest MCU film, obviously, but only longer than Avengers Infinity War by, I think, 15 or 16 minutes. So it's not that much longer, but it is longer than what Infinity War was.
I'm still excited for it.
All right. So, yeah, I'm excited about 4 too. Black Widow, that's who we're talking about today. We're going to find out where she came from in the comics.
It's a spider.
Where she was and where she came from in the MCU. Where she was during Infinity War and where she might be when we come back in Endgame. And what we think is going to happen moving forward with her. Now keep in mind, that's this week. Next week we're doing Hulk. Following week Thor. Following week Captain America. Then finally Iron Man. That is our journey with the characters. And we will have a special Avengers pregame dropping the same week as the week of Iron Man, which we're going to drop probably the same day, maybe a day later. We are going to have Deej Penhollow from Nerdtalkalypse on here. And our hope is to get John Horsley and his co-host on the show as well, talking about Avengers, just talking everything Avengers, everything that has led up to this point in time, in this moment, where we're going to see what is essentially the end of the MCU as we know it. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Infinity Saga.
Yeah, the Infinity Saga. So that's what we're going to get. We're going to talk about that. So you have something to look forward to over the next few weeks here. Really, it's the next 5 weeks, roughly, that we will have a post-game, Avengers post-game show that is after we see Endgame the following week. I'm hoping to get the same people all on it that we have on from the post-game to just talk about what we did see, what we guessed was right, what we guessed was wrong, and what we think of everything that happened in the movie.
Rest in spaghetti.
So that is a look towards what is coming up. But today... like I said, we're talking about Black Widow. So tell me, Colton, what do you know about Black Widow?
She's a woman that changes her hair often and a secret agent, but doesn't really kill because she's a woman. Just kidding. I meant because she's human and they fight aliens.
So confused what you're saying right now. So what do you think? Okay, so I know...
She's Scarlett Johansson.
You're not a big comic book reader. I mean, you want to be. I know you want to read more comics, as do I. Like, I just wish I had the time and money to just buy all the comics.
Yeah, it's so expensive.
So I know you've probably never even read a comic that she was in it.
No.
That's my guess. That's fine, because neither have I. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners haven't either. I give you credit if you have. But... in the MCU, what do you think of her? So her introduction came in Iron Man 2. All right. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Iron Man 2 in theaters, and I was like, whoa, that's a pretty badass chick. I didn't know much about Black Widow. You got to remember, this is back in the late 2000s, like 2010, I believe.
It would have been either 9 or 10.
And I was still very much just DC oriented. I knew DC stuff like the back of my hand, whether it was comics, whether it was movies, whatever it was, I knew DC.
It was all that free time in the mirror window, or living screens. Yeah.
And Marvel, though, I didn't know a lot. I knew the main characters, you know, Captain America, your
Captain Marvel,
your Spider-Man. You know, I knew Spider-Man really well, but that's because of the animated series that was on in the 90s. Same with the X-Men. I knew the X-Men because of the animated series. But I didn't know a lot about Iron Man. I knew he was there. There was also an Iron Man animated series that I watched, you know? But I didn't know a lot about him.
You knew he was a man and that he was Iron.
Yes. But I never knew anything about Black Widow. So when she came and made her appearance, I was like, whoa, she's a badass woman. She's pretty cool. What did you think?
I was like, oh, she's pretty cool.
That's about it.
Yeah. Keep in mind, I was also like 12.
Yeah.
14, realistically.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, boobs.
hot chick.
That honestly probably was my reaction. I was like, oh, boobs.
No, I thought it was an interesting dynamic because, you know, we had, to that point, you know, we only had a few MCU films and none of which really showed a strong female
hero. Yeah, they were all
hero
male.
Of any sort. Yeah, you know, you had Bruce Banner, you had Tony Stark, you know, we saw Nick Fury show up at one point already at that time. He was in Iron Man 2. You had Chris Evans, Captain America. You know, so you had these really strong male leads, but you didn't have the women, you know. So we knew what was coming. We knew Thor was coming. We knew that Captain America was coming. We knew all the, you know, we had an idea of all these characters that were going to be coming, but none of them were women. So it was like a big surprise to me. I was like, wow, she's a badass. Like, I want to see more of her. Like, that's cool. Because you know, just the acrobatics that she was doing to take down bad guys and stuff. Yeah. It was really cool. Then, you know, obviously we see her again show up in Avengers. And she just continues her badassery in that movie. And it really builds her character even more. And, you know, her character is just built. I think it's been built perfectly since she's come into the fray of the Avengers. Now, where did she come from? And that's a good question. Because in the comics, Black Widow's first appearance was actually as a recurring, non-costumed Russian spy antagonist in the feature Iron Man. Beginning in Tales of Suspense number 52 in 1964. 5 issues later, she recruits the besotted costumed archer and later superhero Hawkeye to her cause.
Yeah, she would recruit a turd.
Her government later supplies her with her first Black Widow costume and high-tech weaponry, but she eventually defects to the United States after appearing temporarily brainwashed against the U.S., in the superhero team series, The Avengers, number 29, in July 1966. The Widow later becomes a recurring ally of the team before officially becoming its 16th member many years later. So, I mean, she was kind of a staple since the 60s in The Avengers, which I think is absolutely cool. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And
she's been around for a long time.
And, you know, the relationship between her and Hawkeye has been there almost since the beginning.
Yeah.
And we see that even in the movies. Again, it just, this proves, like, what Kevin Feige and Josh Whedon and Jon Favreau, like, those are, like, the three masterminds behind the beginning stages of the Avengers, you know, the MCU. Because, you know, Kevin Feige was, you know, driving the ship. You know, he was like, all right, hey.
He's like, boats and hose, boats and hose.
Hey, Jon Favreau, hey, go do your Iron Man thing. Damn, that was good. Do another one. Oh, Josh Whedon, you know what? Hey, I want you to do The Avengers because you know how to write good characters, good villains, and strong female characters. And that really, I think, is what helped Black Widow. Because if it wasn't for Joss doing The Avengers, I don't think she would have, you know, because he wrote it, he directed it. If you would have had somebody else write it and even direct it, I don't think she would be nothing more than a side character. Exactly. And I think it's because of him. Like that opening scene in the movie, you know, of her doing her spy shit, you know, like, that's a big scene.
Again, when I was like, boobs. Because, again, I was 16.
But again, you know, it's a big scene and it's an empowering scene for her. It just shows you how much of a badass she is. And it really just kind of pushed everything for her moving forward and, in a way, paved the way for what we got this year with Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for what Scarlett Johansson, what Josh Whedon, and even Jon Favreau and Kevin Feige did with the character,
we would never have another one.
We wouldn't have gotten to where we are for Captain Marvel. know, and that's what people need to realize. And, you know, everybody wants to, you know, hoot and holler, like, well, Captain Marvel, but really it's Black Widow. It's Scarlett Johansson. She led the charge for the MCU for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, for how long? Since the Avengers, since the first Avengers movie, people have been screaming, we want a Black Widow movie. We want a Black Widow movie. We've been screaming that since then. We're finally getting one. In my opinion, it's a little too late. Yeah. But we are getting one.
Especially once her story's wrapped up.
Yeah, I mean, again, it could be a flashback. Yeah. You know, it could be before she joined the Avengers, which I think would be cool.
Yeah, like a Russian spy thing.
Yeah, see her, like, that's what I want to see. I want to see her as a Russian spy, her defect, and maybe even join up with Hawkeye. Like, I would love to see that be the story, you know, her defect and become a U.S., you know, operative.
And then it'd be good, and then we'd be like, well, we're not getting any more Scarlett Johansson. This sucks.
I mean, she is hot.
But boobs. 14, 16-year-old me. Boobs.
But I've loved her story so far through the Avengers, because it isn't a lot, but it's just been interesting. She's a strong character. Yeah. She's an interesting character.
Especially with her connection to Bruce Banner, Hulk.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that's kind of fallen by the wayside, but that's only because after Age of Ultron, Hulk went away and he was gone for a while, and then he's back, but by the time he comes back, all hell's breaking loose with Thanos.
Yeah, and Hulk needs, like, Viagra to come out.
Hulk Viagra. Do you think he needs to take bigger pills?
Yeah, horse pills that he like shoves up his horse ass.
Literally Viagra, like, just.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about that?
Just all right. Cracks up, snorts it.
Jesus.
Man, that was a real guttural scream for like two whole seconds.
So we see her in Avengers, then we see her again in Age of Ultron. In Age of Ultron, we see that connection with her and Bruce, but we also see a little more like of her fears, of her, you know, of her background. We see
the Scarlet Witch and stuff. Triggling her.
Oh yeah, I mean triggering her a little bit. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, you're right there. But you know, just understanding her character a little bit more, where she came from, was really interesting. You then see her again in Civil War, where she picks the wrong side, and
anybody in that movie picks the wrong side.
I mean, honestly, she played both sides, so it's kind of like, okay, so she was on one side, and then as a typical double agent spy would do,
with two boobs, of course, one for each side.
Yeah, they go against and switch, you know, what they're doing. So
same.
You know, she starts with Tony and then allows, you know, and switches to Steve, but still with Tony. Who knows what she's doing?
Yeah.
Who knows? But I've always looked at her as she's pretty much, and you may agree with me or not, I think she's kind of, when it comes to the superhero aspect of things, I think that she's the smartest one. I think she would be a better leader than what Steve was or what Tony would be. Just because I think she's able to look at everything as it is.
Yeah.
You know, like Steve,
like, be able to assess the situation from all sides.
Steve, you know, Rogers, he was always like, I hate the government. Look what the government's done. Like that, like, I'm not signing the Sokovia Accords because look what they did. You know, when you look at Winter Soldier, that's why he hates the government. That's why he refuses to sign the Sokovia Accords, because he was screwed over by the government in Winter Soldier, and he doesn't want the government to control him as they did in the past. And that's why he doesn't want to sign them. You know, whereas Tony's like, oh crap, we need to, you know, sign the Sokovia Accords because, you know, we have to do this because we suck and we blow up everything. Exactly. But I always felt that Black Widow's character in that movie, and even before that, she was always kind of the one that was like, look, I can see both sides and there has to be a middle ground.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what I think she is. And I think that she's always been a very good character for that. And she's always played well off of every other character within the films. And again, go back to the Bruce Banner thing. I wish they would expand on that relationship. I really did like what they were doing there. And
we might see it in Endgame.
We might.
It might be a pivotal part of Endgame.
It could be.
Thanos is like, oh man, I destroyed Ant-Man. He can't climb in my butt. Remember all the memes?
Yeah.
And then like Hulk or Scarlett Johansson isn't like, oh no.
No.
Hulk's like, ooh.
Look, the Russos already said that Thanos has his plot armor on, that, you know, Ant-Man can't climb up his butt and do that.
That's because the Reality Stone.
Oh, okay.
He just changes the reality and climbs up Ant-Man's butt and expands.
dude.
Plot twist.
Whoa. So in Endgame, or not Endgame, in Infinity War, she is on Earth at the Battle of Wakanda with Captain America and everybody there, as the Children of Thanos come down and, you know, try to get the Soul Stone off of... Vision. Not the Soul Stone, the
Mind Stone.
Mind Stone off of Vision.
I correct you every time you say that,
it's
too.
Always, for some reason, I always think Vision has the Soul Stone. I don't know why. I always think he does, but he has a Mind Stone. So she's there fighting, you know, doing that. She does have one badass, like, look at me, I'm a woman scene that I felt was really forced and not that good. It's kind of like a... Like, I feel bad for women watching it because it was that bad. You know, it's like...
It was like everybody else is having their moment. We need to scram her in here real quick.
And it wasn't like even just her, because they did, what is her name, McCoy or whatever, Michonne, and Scarlet Witch, and her. You know, so like the three women on the battlefield were all like, at that one moment, all did something badass to kill something. And it was just kind of like, that was...
And meanwhile, Thor's body counts like over a million already.
And they were fighting a woman. You know, so it was kind of like, it was so forced and you could see what they were doing. I just felt bad for them doing that. And it was just kind of cringeworthy, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, they were trying to continue what Joss has built with her, and they're just not as good as Josh Whedon is. You know, it's just unfortunate.
That's a director thing.
Yeah, and again, Josh, I mean, look at what he's done in his past. You know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, Alias and stuff like that. Not Alias. Not Alias. That's J.J. Abrams. What is the one I'm thinking of?
Star Wars Episode 7.
Is it Dollhouse? No, not Dollhouse. I can't.
The Force Awakens.
But, you know, he's done films and shows and stuff like that that just have these strong female leads. He knows how to write females so well and really build them and make them somebody who they're not just exploited sexually, but they are strong female leads. You know, and that's one thing that the Russos, I'm not saying they exploited them sexually. They didn't know how to write them to be strong as he does.
They didn't like her blonde either.
Yeah.
I like her more of
take
a brunette.
Leave it.
Leave her more as a brunette or redhead or whatever.
Redhead. Redhead's best for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can take her. I mean, she's a natural blonde, so.
Ew.
Yeah. Not that blonde. I think she's like a dirty blonde.
Dirty blonde would look better. Platinum blonde was just. Yeah.
But, so that's Infinity War. We know an Endgame in the trailers that we've seen. Sorry for spoilers if you're trying to stay away from any spoilers or any trailers or anything like that. I apologize. But we know from the trailers that we see, you know, she is, you know, still alive. She's working with Captain America.
And potentially Captain Marvel.
Possibly. But she's working with Captain America and the remaining Avengers that are alive on how to fix everything, how to get Thanos. They're all depressed, everything like that.
Yeah, she seems to be the one holding everything together.
Maybe.
Like, because Captain America's like, oh, no.
You know, we know that she does go off looking for Hawkeye at some point and comes across Ronan. We know that, you know, it's probably their connection that brings him back into the fold to go off into battle with them together.
One last time.
One more time. One day. All right, so... I was singing a different song than you.
I was singing Daft Punk.
Yeah, I was singing something way off. So in Endgame, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think she's going to do? Do you think she's going to play an important role? Do you think she survives? What do you think? Because these are the characters we care about surviving at this point. Everybody that we're talking about from this point forward, we want to see them to live. We want to see them do something cool.
These are the people that are, their survival's up in the air.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, these are the original six that we're talking about here. The original six members, well, minus Hawkeye because we talked about him.
Yeah, Hawkeye's a turd anyway.
So original five members.
There's only five as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, Black Widow, I think she'll probably play some sort of role with the Hulk. I strongly believe that the Hulk still needs Viagra. And, like, well, I mean, he hasn't had a reason to come out.
True.
So it's like,
except for whenever, you know, he's getting his ass kicked on at Wakanda or
whenever he's needed,
whenever they come to New York and try to take, you know, the time stone. No, we don't need Hulk then.
Nah, never. But I think like she's gonna be like in dire danger and that's gonna bring Hulk out. He'd be like, and I don't know if she, I mean, if time travel is gonna be a thing, she might be the death. She might be one of the people dying. I think she'll die. From one of the Children of Thanos. I think they'll make an appearance.
Even though they're all dead?
I think they'll make an appearance again. Especially if they're going back to the Battle of Wakanda.
Well, after we're done talking about this, I am going to do a huge spoiler warning. And I'm going to tell people to leave that don't want to listen. Because I think I found some things. It could be factual, could be wrong about Endgame.
I am fully ready, even though I don't want to know, but I want to know.
I was the same way. So we'll talk about that. Like I said, we'll finish talking about Black Widow, and we'll talk about that a little bit.
But yeah, I think she'll be a martyr for like everybody else to kick ass. In such a way that it's like, okay, Beep died. Because I don't know who that is. Could be Captain America. Mm-hmm. Could be Iron Man. Whoever dies, okay, so we're beating up Thanos now, but we're losing. And then Black Widow dies. And Hulk's like, no! And that's going to be the rallying call.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I see her being a pivotal role in the movie. I think all six of the original six are going to play a major role in some form or fashion. I think that it's important. I think that's something that they've been egging for. That's why the ones that were decimated, because you had to leave these six
to fix it.
You know, the original Avengers are going to fix it. I know we have other non-original Avengers like Nebula, Rocket, and War Machine. You know, they're all around too, but I don't think they're just the side characters. And you know, they're not going to play a role like the original six will.
I mean, I feel that towards the end, the original six will each hold a stone at some point in time.
So my whole thing is this. I don't think she'll die. I don't. I think that there will be a moment that she has with Ronan. Mm-hmm. I think Ronan will die.
Thank God. Sorry.
Only because I think it's going to play a role for her moving forward with the Avengers and what's going to happen afterwards. I think that she's going to have a similar role that she's had, and I think Scarlett Johansson is just going to stick with the series as long as she can. I don't see any reason why she shouldn't. I don't think that she's sick of it. I think she loves playing the character. I think she enjoys it. Mm-hmm. Her contract, I don't know what her contract's like, but you take a look, she's going to be doing a solo movie. They're not going to want to just kill her off or get rid of her now and then her solo movie come out in 2 years and not have anything with her prior to that. Like, they're going to have her pop up here or there.
And then if it's really good, they're going to just keep her in.
Exactly. You know, and that's kind of what I think is going to happen. So as much as I would love to see, not love to see her die, but to see like a really strong sacrifice of a character who's been around since almost the very beginning, we're not going to get it with her. And I think she's going to stick around for a while. And which I'm fine with. I'm completely fine with it. Again, I love her character. Like, she's one of those characters in this series that I've never not enjoyed. You know, like, there's been moments where I've hated Iron Man and Tony's storyline. There's moments where I've hated Captain America's storyline. But her storyline, I think, through and through, has been the best.
It's been the most cohesive.
Honestly, the only other character I could see is the Hulk, but
he doesn't technically have a movie.
He doesn't have it. Well, he does. But my problem with the Hulk is they haven't done enough with him because they haven't been able to do multiple solo films with him, and that's my only issue with Hulk. Where Black Widow, we never needed it, and her character's been so interesting even without it. So that's kind of where I go with it. So hopefully, I mean, we're all going to find out in a month here.
Yeah, we are in the end game.
Yeah, we're in the end game now. So that's exciting. But yeah, that's all we got for the show. Before you click us off here, I am going to have a little spoiler section here for something I found online that I really, really want to talk about for Avengers Endgame. It's a possibility that a leak of the entire story has come out.
Oh, yes, so the juicy good.
I want to talk about this with Colton on the show. If you want to stick around, you have all the right to stick around and listen to it. If you don't want spoilers or potential spoilers, I urge you to walk away now. Turn us off and just walk away.
Come back next week.
Thank you for listening. Make sure you join us on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Subscribe to us. And, you know, thanks for listening, and we will talk at you later. For all of you that are staying, 3, 2, 1, we are now in spoiler country. So, so there is a Reddit post, and I know it's Reddit. Oh my God, Reddit. How you can't trust Reddit. I know that. I'm not saying
Reddit's like a 2575.
I'm not sitting here saying that I trust this post on Reddit completely, okay? But the post on Reddit, where's that here? Most of the claims in Reddit are dubious at best, but there's something about this particular comment that has people wondering if it's the real deal. Perhaps it's one or two similar descriptions it shares with another potentially big leak from a different source that hit the web around the same time. So it's unlikely that the two authors saw each other's work. So, in any case, and this is coming from BGR.com, in any case, here's the unedited text from the Reddit post that supposedly describes all three acts of Avengers Endgame in bullet points. So these are the three acts. It doesn't really dive into a lot of description, but it's just bullet points of like, this happens, this happens, this happens in the first act, this happens, this happens in the second act, this, this, this in the third act. Okay, so I'm going to go through them. So act one, Tony and Nebula make it back to Earth.
No surprise.
No, no surprise there. Captain Marvel is there. The entire team heads to Thanos.
All right.
Thanos is weakened. The team, especially because of Captain Marvel, kill him. The gauntlet is broken, and stones can't undo the snap. They couldn't protect the universe, so they avenged it. So they couldn't protect it, so they go back, or they go find Thanos and avenge and kill Thanos. Thanos, when he dies, meets death.
Finally.
He's pleased with himself. That's all in Act 1. So Act 1 is, and this is something that's interesting, because I've heard, before I saw this, I heard a rumor that Thanos, the battle against Thanos was going to take place early on in the movie. That they were going to fight him, they were going to defeat him early on in the movie, because the main meat and potatoes of this movie is not Thanos, it's restoring
the universe,
and they get rid of Thanos quickly early on, not saying that he's not going to be there throughout, but their main focus of killing Thanos is in the beginning of the movie, and then he's just kind of there later on, and you'll see why. So Act 2...
Okay, I'm completely content with the first act.
Yeah. So Act 2 is a few years later. Ant-Man returns from the Quantum Realm, and he starts to explain what the Quantum Realm stuff is. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. From the trailer, what we saw, we see him show up, which is obviously much later than right after the snap. Like, yeah. He comes back because there's posters up. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. There's abandoned buildings, everything like that. So it makes sense that he's going to come back a few years later. I can see that happening.
Makes complete sense, still.
Exactly. Tony then builds out of quantum suit, or builds quantum suits. I'm guessing utilizing probably Hank Pym's, you know, directions and stuff like that. And
makes sense. I'm sure Bruce Banner helps.
The teams split off to recharge this Infinity Stones at various points in time. So you know how you just said a little bit ago, like, I can see each one of the six holding an Infinity Stone. That's what's going to happen, in my opinion. You're going to see, and this is what I see happening. You're going to see Tony and Ant-Man. They're going to go back to the Battle of New York to recharge the
one in the Tesseract.
One of the Tesseract, or even maybe the Scepter, you know, whatever one. But, you know, you're going to see that. I think you're going to see Captain America actually go back to World War II. I really think that's going to happen. So I think we're going to see multiple time traveling aspects here. Doesn't get too much into that here, but that's
interesting.
Real interesting. The rest of the act is interactions between the present and past selves of the team.
And I mean, that makes sense.
Powering the stones. Now, Thanos has been watching the entire time. Now concerned that they can undo his plan, he begins to beg death to let him preserve his work.
Okay, interesting.
So that's Act 2. Act 3, Thanos and the Outriders attack Avengers headquarters to prevent a new gauntlet from being used. So Thanos comes back. Cap, Tony, and Hulk quantum away to Wakanda, to the Wakanda battle, using the new gauntlet, only to miss and end up on Xandar after Thanos' battle there. Now remember, we never saw the Battle of Xandar, how he got the Power Stone there.
Yeah.
Okay? And everybody was like, oh, wish we would have seen that, wish we would have seen that. How badass would it be was if it was the entire time the plan was, yeah, you're not going to see it here, you're going to see it
in the next one.
In the next movie.
That's still dope.
That's dope. Yeah, it is. I like that idea. I hope that happens. Let's see.
Can this be the plot, please?
The gauntlet isn't strong enough to beat Thanos. There's a big fight between those three until it's Cap versus Thanos. Cap is able to use the gauntlet one last time. Avengers assemble, bringing everyone to face him. That is a huge fight scene. In real time, Thanos at Wakanda sees the stones weakening from his gauntlet because in his timeline, he's going to be defeated. Thanos is killed at Wakanda, Cap sacrificing himself, which I've been saying for 3 years now, and now the snap never happened, so the events of the movie basically have never happened. Doctor Strange does some hand-wavy stuff, saying, the loop is now closed for the 14 millionth time, and we won. That's really lame.
Yeah, that's real corny.
Yeah, but that's kind of what leaked here, and what do you think?
I like it. The first act is really dope.
Yeah.
I like that. Second act, that's kind of predictable.
I mean, I like the second act only because of the whole idea of...
like revisiting everything.
Revisiting like the past and stuff like that. Like, I want to see that.
That'd be in different perspectives and stuff.
Yeah.
Because then you could be like, oh, I wanted to shoot this scene this way. And then you can shoot that scene that way. And
imagine if every act is an hour long.
That would be cool.
Like,
I mean, it could line up like that.
Yeah.
That'd be dope. Act 3 is kind of confusing, but... Yeah. I feel like that's going to be better portrayed on the screen than you can do in a summary.
Here's the thing. When I was reading the Act 3, I have this sneaking suspicion, like I said the other... What was it, last week or even a couple weeks before that? Where... It was last week. Where I truly believe we're going to see multiple fights with Thanos going on at the same time in different times. That's what's going to happen. So you're going to have Thanos and the Outriders at the Avengers HQ fighting Captain Marvel, War Machine, this and that. You know, a bunch of people there. You're going to have them fighting him on Xandar. You're going to have them fighting at Wakanda.
Okay. Yeah.
You're going to have those three period, those three times, those three areas where they're fighting Thanos. And it's because they're winning here that it's going to weaken him here.
And that's why they win there.
Exactly. You know, like that. And because they win here, he dies here. And it's just
a big old chain reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
That's what I think is going to happen. I think it'd be cool.
That'd really be cool. Real fucking dope.
Yeah. So you're going to get that joy out of probably Captain Marvel, you know, landing a huge blow on Thanos. You're going to have, you know, probably a cool, you know, horror deal where you're going to see probably Thor, who will end up somewhere, you know, taking him out.
Aiming for the head.
And then you'll have, you know, Captain Steve sacrificing himself, which is what I've been saying for literally years now.
Wait. I'll be Rachel. It's not going to be Steve. I'm Steve. No, I think it'd be... That sounds really fucking dope.
Yeah.
I would like to see Thor aim for the head that time.
Yeah.
That'd be real cool.
Yeah.
Just like he gets a snap and it's like...
I still think... I still really believe and think that we will see a moment where Tony is going to wield Mjolnir. And I'm not talking about Stormbreaker. I'm talking about Mjolnir. I think there's going to be a time when he actually wields Mjolnir because he's going to go back in time and there's going to be a time. And what's going to happen is that whole thing that happens, they're going to be at the Battle of New York and they're going to be like looking at like Tony and Ant-Man, like, who the hell are you? And Tony's going to be like, all right, he's going to pick up Mjolnir and people are like, whoa, we got to trust this guy, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, it's probably not going to be that lame, but yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I'm totally all in for that.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Yeah.
Right now.
Dude, if it's that or better, I'm okay.
Yeah. And then 3 hours on top of it, so you can take your time explaining everything. And then when you have the three fights with Thanos all on the screen at the same time.
Yeah.
Just,
that'd be so cool. Yeah. I hope they do it that
Goku
way.
Appears. Be like, oh my god, take my energy. Take it all. We need the spirit bomb.
Take it!
I think Goku could have done that in Infinity War.
Yeah. Yeah, Goku would have won.
Yeah. I mean, 30 seconds would have been drug out for 3 hours, but whatever.
But there you have it. That's a little bit of stuff. I wanted to talk about it today.
God, that sounds so awesome. So
hopefully, we'll probably talk about this some more. We'll probably get some more leaks.
That'll probably be pregame talk.
Yeah, for our pregame talk. So, again, guys, thanks for listening. Let us know what you think about this little endgame leak that came out. If you stayed and listened, if not, hey, you're not hearing me now, so thanks for listening earlier.
Hey, we love you.
But we will talk at you next week, so have a good week.
Bye.